was he wearing? Well, he produced, he was wearing a red Argyle sweater and tan trousers and red shoes. Hmm? No, he's not retarded.
Hello and welcome to another Surviving Grady podcast. As always, my name is Red, and I'm joined by Mr. Denton, and we are here as I don't know whether to say as promised or as threatened. We are here to do a ALCS preview podcast. We did our ALDS preview last week, and I think actually Denton, I think did you say Red Sox in four for the ALDS, or did you say Red Sox in five?
I said five.
Five. All right. I
had so wrong again.
I had Red Sox in seven, then realized there's only five games in the ALDS. So.
Oh, I was absolutely sure it was going to be a split the first two home games, and just back and forth, and coming down to the ninth inning of game five. So yeah, I was nowhere near.
Pleasantly surprised, but you know it worked out better because I remember talking about it last week, and I said if. With Lackey, with Lester in Game 1 and Lackey in Game 2, my feeling was if we got to win Game 1 because Lackey in Game 2. And, of course, I mean, it wasn't an outing I'd want to put in the time vault, but it was. But he won the game, so there we go. I'd love to see them repeat it this time during the ALCS. And, of course, we'll be faying. We're going to be faying.
Hey!
We'll be playing the Detroit Tigers. Tigers from Detroit City! Tonight, this is Saturday morning, of course, so we're talking about tonight, the ALCS Game 1 at Fenway Park, Red Sox against the Tigers. This isn't really, I mean, of the two teams that were in the ALCS, I would have felt better about us facing Oakland, but, you know, you gotta play what you gotta play. But the Justin Verlander, from the talk today on sports radio, you almost get the impression that on the days that Justin Verlander is pitched, we might as well just forfeit those games immediately.
That's the what have you done for me lately thing, because last week they were talking about, I think he was only 13-12 in the regular season, and he's not the Verlander he used to be, and now he's got his big contract, and he's not that good. And now, after actually two good performances in the postseason, he's back to Verlander, and oh, he's smarter now. He was just pacing himself all season. That's why he wasn't so untouchable, but now he's turning it up a notch, and yeah, like you said, we might as well just forfeit those games.
That's what I say about my podcasting. I just pace myself. The gold
That's
is
right.
coming. It's coming later. I don't want to push it all out there at one time. Did you see any of the game last night?
I did see probably the last four or five innings, and well, maybe not quite three or four. He looked filthy.
Really?
He was almost unhittable, literally.
Could you almost picture Mike Napoli swinging at air, like trying to catch up with it?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup for sure. But Oakland has some good starters too.
I really don't know. I mean, everyone. I think on paper the Red Sox are the underdog. I really do. Lester's good. Buchholz is good. We still don't know that Buchholz is 100% after his injury. But I don't know that you can compare them to Verlander and Scherzer. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yeah, whatever.
Who gives a fuck? I don't think they stack up. Obviously, they've got some pretty good bats in there. Assuming Cabrera is okay, everyone talks about his injury and is he really back? Of course, he cranked a home run last night. So you know, it you never quite know how these things are going to go. But I don't know. I think the game one tomorrow night, tonight rather, we have Lester against Anibal Sanchez, and then we have Buchholz versus Scherzer on Sunday. And then we will go to Detroit, and we have Lackey against Verlander. You might have heard of him. And then Peavy against Pfister. the name that just elicits laughter immediately. After that, you'd probably go back to Sanchez again for a Game 5, and then Scherzer again in Game 6, and then you'd end up with Verlander again in Game 7. So everyone's talking today. You hear it today. Again, the talk today is that, you know, Verlander should be avoided at all costs. But even though they're really not the same person, and I'd have to say Verlander has obviously got quite an edge, but we said the same thing about David Price last week. That's exactly what we were saying.
We were saying
you can't face him twice. Oh, the Rays will throw him at you twice. You don't want a game seven against Price where anything can happen. You don't want that. But I don't think we did that badly against David Price. I mean, we did enough to induce him to go on some kind of a bizarre Twitter rampage afterwards in which he was calling everybody nerds, but I kind of liken it to that. I mean, last week it was, we don't want the Rays, we want the Indians. We hope for the Indians, we got the Rays. And we kind of went into that a little nervous. Oh, shit, we don't know what's going to happen here. But we ended up beating the two guys that we thought would give us the – I mean, everyone figured if you got a split at Fenway in the first two games, you're happy. We got two of them, and we did some pretty good damage against David Price. So, I don't know. Again, Price, Verlander, two very different people. Obviously, Verlander has a great edge, has a lot more tools, but still, two top line pitchers, and we didn't do half bad against the Rays. So I'm not going to call it a complete wash. I mean, in my mind, I think the Tigers have the edge in this series. I think they get better pitching. I think they get a better lineup. But what the fuck do I know? I'm just a guy with a blog.
Well, it's funny that now that Verlander has ascended to the gods after last night's performance, they're talking about Scherzer like he's nothing. He was friggin' like 19-2 or whatever he was all year. Oh, well, we beat him once this year. We beat him on Lester's greatest game of the season, 2-1.
Yep.
So it's not like he's some shit bum they brought in off the street. So I wouldn't minimize his impact on the series either. But
I look back at the last time we played. The Tigers came into Fenway for three games in early September, and I know one of them was that game we whipped them like 20-4 or 20-2 or something like that. But you know, that lineup didn't have Cabrera in it. It didn't. I mean, I think once it got to be about 8-2, I think we were basically playing a Triple A team. You know, I think they pulled everybody at that point. But you know, the hope is, I know that coming into that series, we had the expectation that this is a potential ALCS preview, and I thought we held our own pretty good. I mean, we were worried coming into this September. That's the thing about this team. Every time I worry about something, they basically perform at a level that says, dude, shut the fuck up and stop worrying. Like, in coming into September, I was worried, oh, man, these last two Septembers have been such shitty times for the team. They're going to fucking fold like lawn chairs in wind. And they didn't. They had a great September, and including winning a series at Fenway against the Tigers. And, you know, then I felt the same way about the ALDS. I said, oh, Christ, the Rays, why not the Indians? And they ended up doing pretty damn good there too. So I guess, you know, as per the pattern at this point, I should doubt them aloud and then wait and sit back and watch them prove me wrong.
Yeah, I honestly, before last night, I would have preferred to face the Tigers over the A's. I don't know why. I'm just more afraid to forget Scherzer and Verlander. I know how great they are, but I don't know. It seems like we always struggle against Oakland pitching. And my biggest concern of the postseason is not us being able to pitch against a good lineup like Detroit, but being able to hit good pitching. And, I mean, either way, there's no bad pitchers in the playoffs. And thankfully, we've got all right-handed pitchers on the starting lineup of Detroit.
Right.
I don't know. I was a little bit more afraid of Oakland's pitching. I don't know what it is. We always struggle against them.
Well, it conjures images of Dave Stewart shutting down Roger Clemens back in the day. See, you were weaned on that shit. You have that inherent fear of Oakland.
It's funny you mention that because I was thinking about that too, how the matchups worked out. And every time we face them in the playoffs, we put up Clemens against Stewart and we lost.
Right.
And it's like, why didn't we just throw some shit bum and concede game one and just let Clemens pitch the next night? And I almost feel like they're doing that with Lackey against Verlander. I really do.
Yeah, it's a great point. And I was actually about to bring that up, especially when you said some shit bum against him, which I think is, I know how you feel about John Lackey, but it's an interesting point you raise because, you know, see how they flip it this time. Going through the ALDS, you had Lester, then you had Lackey at home. Lackey's numbers at Fenway, obviously much better than his numbers on the road. But now it's almost like we're putting the cards on the table and trying to get those two games, knowing that shit, we almost have to win every game that Verlander isn't pitching. If you automatically give him those two, again, kind of crazy because in my mind I automatically gave the David Price games to the Rays, and we ended up winning one of those. But if you give both of those starts to the Tigers, then you know you've got five other games that you really, you know, you have to basically, it becomes a 4 or 5 series basically. You know, you have to win those four games against Sanchez and Scherzer. I guess they're thinking that, you know, you throw Lester and Buchholz up there, they're hopefully going to keep the offense at bay, and then, you know, hope you sneak a few hits in it. You cannot deny the home field advantage, though, in this case. I think the Red Sox are a different fucking team at home. I think they're, you know, the crowd gets into it. If you're an opposing player, I would have to figure this is not a violent place. I mean, hopefully you're not going to get capped with a battery or something like that. But I'd figure if you're an opposing team player, this has got to be an imposing field for you to come in, especially in a high octane series like this. I would have to figure that is a factor. The hometown crowd is a factor, and the home field, and all the little nuances of Fenway.
Yeah, just ask Joe Madden. We helped Fenway his ass.
Yes, we do.
Well, that's another good point about pitching Lackey on the road this time, because that is Detroit Comerica is a huge pitcher's ballpark, so it's a little different pitching him on the road there versus Tampa.
Yeah. It would be very interesting to see if we get these first two. I do think this is going to go seven. No one's getting swept in this thing. I'm convinced of that. No one's taken the first four. And if you look at our history, it's so interesting, the history of the last few times we advanced this far in the playoffs. The ALCS for us always goes the full seven. You know, we went seven against the Rays in 2008. We went seven against the Indians we did go seven there. Was that six or seven? No, it was seven because we were down three games to one at one point. We came back and won. Yeah, so that was seven against the Indians in 2007. Seven in the 2004 ALCS. And, of course, before that, 2003, Aaron Boone. It's been 10 years since the Aaron Boone game, by the way. Digest that.
suck on that.
Can you feel that, buddy? 2003 ALCS won seven games. So there's no reason to think that this is going to be any different. This is just, you know, I think six games is conservative. I think it's going seven. If we get lucky, if we take the first two at home, then I think I want to kind of withhold the right to withdraw my withdraw that and run it out to six at that point. But I do think that if you look at the history of our appearances in the ALCS, these are real slugfests and they go the distance. And I think you got to get those first two games at home. Basically, anytime someone not named Verlander is on the mound, you got to do everything you can. Which I think is interesting that he's not pitching Buchholz against Verlander, because if he can steal a win with Buchholz on the mound, you know, you'd hardly be stealing a win against Scherzer. Well, maybe you would against Scherzer, but I don't know. I think you would.
I think it's going to go six. I think we lose the Scherzer game and the Verlander game.
All right, so you think against Pfister, if we have Pfister in game four, and if Peavy really in the game he pitched in game four, game four of the ALDS, he really was like a man possessed. And this is a guy who, I like him. I like him a lot. And,
he's just a badass. You gotta like him.
And just the interviews with him, he really seems very respectful of where he's been, the teams he's played for, the Padres, the White Sox. I mean, very respectful of those teams, but saying he really feels a connection to these guys and really likes playing here. And as long as the check's clear, I guess he'll continue to, but I really like what he brings to the mound, and I think he's so bent on avenging those past shitty playoff appearances that he's had, I guess, with the Padres, that he came out, he was like fucking shooting lightning through his fingertips. I mean, we had so many chances. It still pisses me off that he didn't get the win. We had so many chances. That's the game, of course, where we had the bases loaded with nobody out and couldn't even drive a run in. I mean, it kills me. Maybe kills me is a little harsh, but it really bothers me that he didn't get the win in that game, because I thought he was phenomenal, and he was dealing out there. I mean, they were just, you know, they really couldn't make heads or tails of what he brought. So if he brings anything like that, I could see him getting the edge over Pfister in a game like that. And then, of course, you'd have Sanchez again. Sanchez is no slouch either, but you'd have Sanchez again in game five. against Leicester, which is another great opportunity. So it's fascinating. I really can't. It's just exciting. I mean, it beats fucking what I was doing at this time last year. Really.
That's right. was Sanchez the AL ERA leader?
I believe he was. Yeah.
That's scary for the third pitcher.
Yeah, I mean it's there's a lot of well, like I said, you're at the you're in the ALCS now. These are literally the two best teams in the AL squaring off. Worthy opponents.
You're at the big boy table now.
Exactly. This is how it's got to be. But I really do. Again, I've doubted the Red Sox at every turn. Something I should never do. I should have learned after 2004. And they've seemed to come through. So I guess in my heart, I think they're going to do it. I really do. There's just something about them. Again, we've talked about this before. On paper, you look at them and you say, how the hell does this even make sense? It doesn't make sense. You look at them and all these spare parts, but you put them together and something happens. And it's very reminiscent of 2004. Although the 2004 team were no slouches either. Any team with Pedro and Schilling and Manny Ramirez and Ortiz hitting back to back is not a is pretty much a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, that team was a little more stacked than I think a lot of people give credit. I mean, I think Billy Miller was their number 8 or 9 hitter, and he won the batting title that year.
Yeah.
So
it was a pretty stacked team. You're right. So this is I think that's what's so amazing about this team. And if they do get past the Tigers, then and somehow manage to win the World Series, it's just phenomenal to even think it. To go from, has any team ever done that? By the way, has anyone ever gone from last? I can't believe this is the first team that's ever gone from last place to the ALCS. Must have happened.
I'm sure it's happened before, but you know, I'm not much of a statistician. So, well, yeah, we're back in the 1957 playoffs, if you recall.
62 Pirates. 62 Pirates. That's
I'll
my answer
you,
to everything.
Completely changing gears for no apparent reason. I really wish that Pittsburgh made it in.
I do too. You know why I wish? Because I wish that if they had done it, that first of all, it would have been cool, and but it would have been awesome to have seen them resuscitate the cake box hats they used to wear.
Oh yeah, remember that's that? What you want.
Remember that? And remember they used to have little stars on them because Willie Stargell was the captain of the team and he would give the players stars when they did well. He'd give them stars and shit. That's some stuff. Could that even happen today? You did good out there, youngster. Here's a star. Get out of my face, motherfucker!
Hey, you know, the millions of dollars just doesn't do it, but those stars, yeah, that's where it's at.
I bet the young players of today would love a grandfatherly type like Stargell giving him a little. And this here, this is a star for your hat. You made a great catch out there. Here's a star for you to put on. Get your hand off my hat, Grandpa! And your motherfucking hands off my hat! Anyway,
speaking of grandfatherly types, we talked about this off the air, as we say in the biz, about Jim Leland and how old he is. I looked it up and it says he's 68. There's no fucking way the guy is 68.
That can't be.
They said he was 68 when he won the World Series with the Marlins like 15 years ago. There's no way.
I don't buy that at all. See, he looks, I would say conservatively speaking, I have him at like 79 or 80.
I had high 70s. Minimum.
Where did you look this up? I mean, it's just
on the internet.
It's gotta be right then. I can't believe Jim Leland is not over 70.
Multiple reliable sources.
Maybe this can work to our advantage. Don't old people take a lot of naps? Maybe he'll pass out in the dugout.
Get your liver spotted hands off me.
Get your star off my hat, motherfucker! I'll kick your ass. You did what a phenomenal game. Phenomenal. This is a star for your hat. It's a star for your cake box hat. I cut your ass! I really gotta stop that shit. Anyway, Jim Leland. I can't imagine that Jim... Jim Leland should give out little stars. You did very well out there. Here's a... Is it Pepperidge Farm Milano? But he may take a lot of naps. That's
holy
the one thing.
Shit! It's funny you should say that. I didn't even know this. He played for the Pirates, and I have a picture of him rocking a cake box / top hat.
Excellent!
This is the greatest picture I've ever seen.
I just can't believe I can't believe he's under 70. It doesn't make sense. If he is in fact only 69 or 68, then that's he's. He's whatever he's doing. He's remarkably ill preserved. I don't know. Jim Leland, 68 years old.
There's no way. It's
well, like I said, maybe that works to our advantage. Maybe he nods off in the dugout or something like that. Or, what, Skip, what do we do? Don't bother him. He's sleeping. Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe we take Verlander out? Yeah, go ahead and do it. You know, I mean, that could work to our advantage.
He's got a pretty sweet mustache. It's kind of like a Old West gunfighter / pedophile mustache.
Was Raleigh Fingers ever on the Pirates? He was on the
Why'd
Brewers.
Why do you ask?
I don't know. His name is a sentence. Was it... he was on the Brewers for a while, but he was on... Who else was Raleigh Fingers with? Was it the Yankees? The Mets? Actually, who gives a shit? How the fuck did I come into Raleigh Fingers?
I mentioned pedophile, you mentioned Raleigh,
Raleigh Fingers. The two go hand in hand.
You'll be surprised to know that if you Google Raleigh, he's at the top of the list.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Excellent. And if you... And just don't Google Raleigh Fingers. You never know what you'll get. You never know what'll come up then. If you had to look at this ALCS, if you had to put on your prognosticator hat here, what do you think? Is there anyone you could pick out as? Let's say you had to name who's going to be the bright star of the ALCS. You have to predict who the hero might be. And I'm talking for the Red Sox. I don't give a shit about for the Tigers.
The way things have been going, I think I have to say Ellsbury.
Yeah,
he's on a mission.
He is. And
that mission is going to end with millions and millions of dollars in his pocket.
Exactly. You know what, though? I'll fucking... We milked that to our advantage. Like in 2005 when we were looking to repeat. Remember everyone thought Johnny Damon would slack off? He was in a contract year. Man, did he kick ass in 2005. He was amazing. You know what? I don't have the time or the wherewithal to look up his numbers, but I know that he... everyone was predicting he'd have a falling off, and he was just phenomenal that year. He was, and of course, it was a quick playoffs experience in 2005. I think they got swept by the White Sox, didn't they? Or they pretty much got stomped, but he was amazing. But to your point, I think the fact that Ellsbury is in a contract year, I think that's good for us. I mean, obviously, he's looking to make his numbers look good, looking to, you know, dispel all these myths that he's fragile and he doesn't deliver under pressure and all that stuff. I mean, he's been proving it so far, and if he can carry us through the ALCS too, fuck it, man. I'll take a World Series victory if it means he's leaving anyways. I mean, we're not going to make any effort to keep him around here. So what the hell, man? We'll also see him. You know, if he wants to work it to our advantage, that's a great thing.
Hey, give him a star on his hat.
Exactly.
We don't have any money for you, but here, put this on your hat.
You have all these stars and stars and stars. All the stars you could ever want for your hat. Get the fuck away from me, old man. I think I'm going to go with, and this is probably the unpopular choice, but I'm going to go with Mike Napoli, because Napoli
really?
Was a beast. He was a beast in late September, and then he was a non-entity in the ALDS. I don't even know if he got a hit. Did he? I think he maybe got one or two.
He is the streakiest hitter I have ever seen.
Oh, and he also has a weird penchant for taking his clothes off. In all of these posts, when they won the ALDS, then the other night when they won the... when they won the division and they won the ALDS, you see the post-game celebration, the guy's running around he's like naked. What is that?
I had no problem with
that. What is that part of the brain that says I'm surrounded by my teammates, I'm in a room full of men, time to take my clothes off? I mean, what is it that inspires that? I don't know. But at any rate, he was a complete non-entity, and, you know,
that's a good reason to pick him.
Yeah, well, I'm just hoping there's a turnaround here, you know? I'm hoping
Oh, the old switcheroo.
Exactly. Then, you know, I'm trying to get the positive vibes with the negative vibes, the reverse jinx mojo. But he really was a non-entity in the ALDS, and I'm hoping that he can – we really need him to. I mean, we need to have someone other than Ortiz who we can count on to get a big home run if we need it. And he is that guy.
I almost pick him, Ortiz. Again, to be the star, but I don't know. I feel like Ellsbury's got he's on too much of a roll right now.
I can't imagine that that in this series you're not going to see him. I mean, maybe not all the time, but I think the Tigers would probably end up working around him. I mean, he is more or less the most threatening bullet in the gun, as they say. You know, I mean,
maybe they just beat him early.
Middlebrooks, Salty. I mean, you know. These guys are really hit or miss. Salty's either going to go yard or hit a triple, or he's going to strike out looking. You know, I mean, it's just
struck out. He has struck out every other time.
You know, I mean, it's so there really aren't that many. You know, Ortiz probably stands as the most threatening, but if Napoli is on it in that groove, man, you do not want to pitch to him. And it's, you got to have that. You got to have someone other than Ortiz who can deliver the big guns, because having those, that was the brilliance of the Ramirez-Ortiz combo, because you really couldn't get around. The pitcher basically just had to drop his pants and bend over and say, all right, whatever, you know. I'm just going to take it. It's going to happen. Just might as well get it over with. I mean, they were just, I don't know. And again, we were getting to some strange analogies here in this one.
You're talking a lot about naked guys.
Here we go. And but anyway, I'm hoping that he can get something going here, because we really need a little magic out of Napa.
Well, and the starters are all righties, so guys like Ellsbury and Ortiz should feast. Even though it's good right-handed pitching, they should still be able to hit it.
Yeah, I agree. But this is still exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's think of how last year ended and how awful that was. I mean, it's exciting. I like the feeling as much as it pains me. This week, I've already warned everyone at work. This week is going to suck. You know how it's going to be. If they lose these two games, you know, let's say they lose the first two games at Fenway, then you have that horrible feeling in your gut, like, oh shit. If they win one, I mean, it's just, if they win both of them, then you can't sleep because you're too excited about it. I mean, it's just that whole, you know, it's a week that you're just not going to sleep or eat. You're just going to be so caught up in this. It's really just, but it's awesome, though. Like I said, it beats the alternative. You know, what are the Yankees fans doing right now?
Good question.
Nothing. So I'm excited.
Nothing.
Let me ask you this as a final question to close us out here. If, let's say for some reason the Red Sox, let's say it goes seven, Verlander comes on in game seven and just shuts us down, and that's it, and this amazing ride just ends there. Do you look back on this as a lost season in any way? Because some people talk like that. Some people say, oh, if we don't win the World Series, then it's, you know, why bother? But, I don't think that way. I can't see this as anything other than a year that has surpassed my expectations by...
Absolutely not. I mean, this is... I'm already playing with house money as far as I'm concerned. I expected this team, as everyone is well aware, to be about an 85-win team. So this is just gravy right now. There's no way that this team can disappoint, unless they go out there and just run around like a bunch of assholes out there and lose in really ugly ways, but they haven't done that all year. Why would they do that now?
I'll tell you, one person who I think is hoping they shit the bed is Carl Crawford, because I can't imagine. I look at this two ways. As far as the world, I hate to jump ahead, but if you're a Major League Baseball executive and you're looking at your World Series potentials, I think you look on the one hand and you say, Dodgers, Red Sox, a World Series for the ages. This could be, you know, both coasts. This could be amazing. Then you also look at a Tigers, St. Louis Cardinals World Series, and you say, ooh, I can't imagine anyone gets very excited about that. So it's just, I know what I'm hoping for.
Well, I honestly, if Crawford has to come back to Fenway, I see plantar fasciitis popping up unexpectedly in his future. He will not take the field at Fenway. He won't.
I don't think he could. Will Myers, who we didn't really even know until he made that bonehead play in the field there in game one, they tortured him every time. The guy was, I mean, literally, every time the Rays took the field and he was out there, you could hear it on the... Myers, I mean, just, it was nonstop. Every time he got to the plate, it was, and we don't even know this guy. Now you've got a guy in Crawford who we know perhaps a little too well. You know, we paid him a shitload of money. He shit the bed when he was here, and then has not stopped talking about how much he hated being here when he was here. He is just, I agree with you. I think he's already probably thinking of, what injury would work best? I had too many stars on my hat. They weighed me down. I hurt my head. That's a guy.
Yeah, Raleigh Fingers went out late one night.
Exactly. Did you know his name is a sentence? I would see. Now, if he, assuming he's the left fielder, right? So he would hear it nonstop. It just would not. I mean, I can't imagine they would let up on him, would they? I mean, it just wouldn't happen.
Oh, it would be relentless.
He would hear it from the minute he... I mean, you might as well just get a recording of it and just hit play and then let it run for the 5 hours it takes to play the games, because... but that would just be so sweet to see. I don't want to get too far ahead, but, man, a Red Sox-Dodgers World Series would be... You know, that's where the money would be, so... Anyway, So we have game one of the ALCS, and my prediction is, I've been betting against the Red Sox, and they keep coming through, but I'm going to say Red Sox in seven. And what do you say?
I'm saying Red Sox in six, and I think they win game one with another great performance by Lester.
Fantastic. And do you see any Napoli Grand Slams in there like I do?
No.
Okay.
No, I do. I don't. I think
he's extra good at the celebration stuff, though. When it comes to spring champagne and drinking beer, man, he's good at that.
Well, you need that.
Yeah, he's extra good.
It's all part of the experience.
Yeah, but I hope I got my fingers crossed that he's going to come alive and make things happen. So, all right. So this is exciting. So Red Sox, Tigers tonight, game one of the ALCS. And what do you say if they maybe we'll come back and do a pre-game six podcast just to kind of assess the situation, but we'll certainly come back and do a pre-World Series one. So listen here, podcast fan base.
Both of you.
Exactly. A reason to be excited. A reason to be excited. So, all right, well... good luck to the Red Sox, and good luck to the Dodgers, and we will talk again. My name is Red, his name is Denton, and to the three of you still listening, thank you.